September 4th, 2007, in Hungary. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 46, Text 22. This is the same verse we read yesterday. At Maharaj's request. I said, that was the verse we read yesterday. So now we should already know it. Sarich chaila vano deshan.
Sarich chaila vano deshan.
Mukunda parabhushitan.
Mukunda parabhushitan.
Akridan ikshyamananam.
Akridan ikshyamananam.
Manoyati taratmatam.
Manoyati taratmatam.
Please chant. Okay, his lotus feet is ornamented, yes. It also means? Yes, well, you read the verse yesterday. So what also does it mean here?
His lotus feet is decorating the earth.
Yes, yes, his lotus feet is decorating the earth. Iksha, what does iksha mean? Eyes, yes, eyes. And krida. Good guess, but yeah. Krida. Now nobody wants to try, everybody's scared. Krida is very much like lila. It means play. Okay. So I'm hoping this will work. I am going to play for you Srila Prabhupada reading the translation of this verse. This is from Prabhupada dictating Krishna book. So again, I hope it works. have to rewind it a little bit. Sorry, has to wake up. It's not working. Where's our sound man? Oh no, I lost the place. Okay, now I got to find the right place again. Okay, in the meantime, I'll read it. When we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, the rivers, hills, and forests he decorated with his feet, our minds become totally absorbed in him. So this verse is spoken by Nanda Maharaj when Uddhava is visiting Vrindavan. Just, can you be patient for 1 minute while I get to the right place now? It's very sweet to listen to Prabhupada dictating the Krishna book. I'll probably start a little before, so we may get some of the previous verse. And he's going on to the next verse. It won't stop. Stop. Okay, goodbye. Okay. At least I hope some of you could understand it. So before we enter into this lila in Vrindavan with Nanda Maharaj and Uddhava, I want to start with our lives. Then we'll go to Vrindavan, and then we'll come back to us. Okay. So we all are making many decisions in our lives. I just like, there's one devotee here who wants to talk to me about a decision she wants to make. And she wants to know, is this going to be the right decision? So every day we're making decisions. What should I do in the next 5 minutes? What should I do in the next month? What should I do with my life? And we want to make sure these decisions are the right decisions. Isn't it? Did everybody here make decisions? And one of the things that we need as a soul is we need to know that our activities have meaning. No one wants to do something that is useless. Sometimes we do some work, and And then somebody looks at it and says, oh, this is all useless. I can't use any of it. A few months ago, a devotee and I were making a presentation. And she had worked for 1 month on 20 minutes of the presentation. But then the devotees to whom we were presenting, they kept interrupting us with questions. And we never had time for her presentation. So we are all afraid of this, that what I do will be useless, or will not give me the result that I want. And especially those of us who are a little older. Once you start hitting like 40 or 50, you really start thinking about permanence. You think, I want to do something that will last. So I have some sad information to convey. Krishna says this world is asukha anicham. He says this world is miserable and temporary. Budva budva praliyate, it will all be destroyed. So we build some nice building. We think the building is permanent. How long will it last? Modern buildings are arranged to last maybe 100 years. That's not a very long time. If you want something to last for thousands of years, you have to build it out of stone. But even that will not endure forever. Eventually the water and the wind will wear down the stone. You may write books and then people may come and burn the library. Like the Muslims did at Alexandria. And what about all the little things we do in our life? You wash the pots and then they're dirty again in a few hours. You work so hard to grow the food and cook the food and it is eaten in 10 minutes. So after a while, one comes to think that there's nothing here that has any real meaning. And then even on a deeper level, one thing that happens when you chant Hare Krishna, and if this hasn't happened to you yet, it probably will, if you are chanting nicely, you will see that everything we are doing in this world is motivated by ahankara, by false ego. Chaitanya Swami is going to write a commentary on one book of the Bible. That starts out, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Pride. And as we chant, we come to see that. We see that everything we're doing is based on a desire for recognition or for false ego or for sense gratification. We start to see that our heart is very dirty. And the natural reaction to that is to want to stop doing things. I start to see that nothing I do in this world has any meaning. And my reasons for wanting to do it are all rotten. So then let me stop action. That was Arjuna's conclusion. He said, I don't want to fight this war. My motives are not good. Why should I want to enjoy the kingdom at the cost of my family? I'm simply interested in my own enjoyment. So let me stop acting. So, but there is a way to live in the world that has real meaning and is not based on false ego. And this secret is in this word, akridan. That everything that Krishna does is play. Yes. So this is the secret. So to learn this secret of how to act with meaning, where everything we do is full of meaning and satisfaction. Let us get on Uddhava's chariot. We will get on the chariot with Uddhava. Well, we can become like maybe a little bug sitting on the chariot. Because Uddhava is a good friend of Krishna. He's Krishna's cousin. He looks almost exactly like Krishna. And Krishna has such love for him. He wanted to do him a great favor. So he said, you go to Vrindavan with my message for the residents there. But Krishna also wanted to teach Uddhava something. So we can learn this with Uddhava? Okay. It will be a lot of fun. Okay. So we're on the chariot now with Uddhava. You ready? But we're just a little bug, so no one can see us. But we can see and hear everything. Through the grace of Shukadeva Goswami. So Uddhava goes on his chariot to Vrindavan. He gets there in the evening when they're bringing back the cows. And there's so much dust from the cows that nobody sees the chariot. No one knows that we've come. So when we enter into Vrindavan, it's very amazing. Vrindavan is in separation from Krishna. If you go to Vrindavan now, you see it's in separation from Krishna. Everything is dry and full of thorns. But Krishna doesn't want us to see that Vrindavan now. So when we enter, we see it's a very happy place. Bhagavatam says the bulls and cows are mating. Do you understand? The bulls and the cows, they are mating. Reproducing. Okay. And the Bhagavatam says the cows are feeding their calves.
Mm-hmm.
And all the residents are calling to each other in great love. There's flowers everywhere. And in that atmosphere, we enter to the house of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj for many years has not spoken. He doesn't eat. But when he sees our chariot, he sees Uddhava. Because Uddhava looks a lot like Krishna. And Uddhava has this benediction that anyone who sees him will feel great happiness. So Nanda Maharaj comes out of his stunned state. And he greets Uddhava as a very respectable guest. But not Yasoda. She doesn't even practically know that Uddhava is there. She is simply in trance. And she is seeing just Krishna's face in her mind. And she's pouring so many tears that her whole cloth is wet. And milk is pouring from her breast. And in that state, she is just sitting there. She does not even receive Uddhava. So then Nanda Maharaj is speaking to Uddhava. And he's talking about all the wonderful things that Krishna has done in Mathura. How Krishna's killed Kamsa and the wrestlers. Then he naturally goes to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Krishna's killed so many demons here. And he says, as we remember all these wonderful things, our material life stops. So the commentators say that this means he doesn't know how he's going to live. Because he's not eating or sleeping or doing anything to care for his body. And then he's thinking, well, you may say, don't just sit home and think of Krishna. Go take care of the cows by the Yamuna. And then he speaks this verse. That doesn't do any good. When I go by the Yamuna and Govardhan Hill, I'm seeing how Krishna's footprints are decorating everything. And again, I'm completely absorbed in him. I don't care anything for the maintenance of this body. The residents of Vrindavan, they're keeping their body alive just thinking, so Krishna can come back and enjoy me. The conditioned soul, they keep their body alive for their own enjoyment. So Uddhava, he's listening to this. And he is amazed. And he thinks, for ordinary persons, you can tell them, become detached from your family members. If someone here was so attached to their child or their parent or that they were not functioning, we would have them take some therapy. In America, they would give them medication. Like Prozac or something. They'd say, oh, you're very depressed. But Uddhava says, I cannot tell him you give up your attachment. Because your attachment is for Krishna. So he thought, oh, I'll preach philosophy. Krishna tried this with the gopis also. He says, what Uddhava says is really astonishing. He says, Krishna is detached. He has no mother or father. He's everywhere. He says, this meditation you have on Krishna is very nice. Because then you can think of Krishna at the time of death and go back to Godhead. But actually Krishna has no mother or father. So Nanda Maharaj is thinking. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. There's also a spiritual mind. And he's thinking, this Uddhava doesn't know my son very well. How can he say he has no mother or father? He always wanted to take food from my wife's hand. He wanted to embrace me with love. We have this nice painting of Nanda Maharaj feeding Krishna. You can see how Krishna is looking at the face of Nanda Maharaj with so much affection. How is that possible, Nanda Maharaj is saying, if he has no father? Nanda Maharaj says, I know what I will do. I will send a message with Uddhava. And he can read it in the assembly of all the Yadus. My dear Krishna, I am your surrendered soul. I just want service at your lotus feet. And then when Krishna hears this, he will know that no one has more devotion than I do. And he will immediately leave and come back here to Vrindavan. And then Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with humility. And he did not send the message. So Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda were always absorbed in thinking of Krishna's pastimes. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that even if you are a disciple of Brihaspati like Uddhava, still you have to go to the residence of Vrindavan to know how to love Krishna to the highest degree. And this tad atmatam, it can mean two things. Either you are filled with images of Krishna, or your whole self is merging into thinking of him. This is the process, Prabhupada says, of lila smaranam. And he says, the process of association with Krishna, which is most recommended by great devotees. And then what's really amazing is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us that even if we can follow this process of lila smaranam just to a minute proportion, that will be the perfection of our lives. Now, some of you are wondering, what does this have to do with making our life significant? So when the devotees are meditating on Krishna's lila, they're meditating on how Krishna is playing. Krishna does not take life very seriously. He is not trying to accomplish something of significance and meaning. He's not at all concerned like that. What is the significance and meaning is just an exchange of love and fun. That's all. That is the essence of meaning. That is the essence of permanence. An exchange of love and fun. The devotees are thinking, I want Krishna to have fun. And Krishna is thinking, I want the devotees to have fun. And because Krishna is the absolute truth, an exchange of love and fun with him is the absolute meaning. So what happens when one is meditating on Krishna's kridam? What is happening when we meditate, when we do lila smaranam? Actually, we are all participating in Krishna's pastimes. This movement is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. All of the preaching work we do is part of the play, the krida of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everything you're doing here, it is part of the play of Radhasham. So everything we do is already fun. That is its purpose. That is its meaning. Now, if we're doing things in illusion, that is not the case. You can't do some nonsense and say this is part of Krishna's lila. But if you're actually absorbed in Krishna, then everything you do is part of Krishna's story. Krishna likes a good story. Look at this story. These devotees crying for Krishna. We might think, do I really want to be in Krishna's story? Then Krishna will leave me crying like this. Krishna may put me in prison with Kamsa threatening and killing my children. Krishna may tell me to wait and I have to wait for 10 million years. I'll fall in love with Krishna and he'll run with another girl. So we don't have to be part of Krishna's story. If you want a boring God, so Krishna has that also. Brahmano hi pratistham amritasya vyastitya shashvatasya tadarmasya sukasya ikantikasya. You can merge into the Brahman. That is very boring. But if we like, we can be bored for millions of years. That is not a problem. So we can stay in this world where there's no meaning. Or we can just be bored. Or we can take the wild ride. And it's a very wild ride. Because Krishna is 15 years old.
Do
we have any boys here, 15-year-old boys? So you men, you remember being 15? And you ladies, you've known some 15-year-old boys?
Huh?
And they want to have fun. 15-year-old boys, they also wish they were all powerful. And all-knowing. So Krishna is all-knowing and all-powerful. But please don't think he only looks 15. He actually has the mood of a very conservative old man. He's Dira Lalita. He's a young boy. And he's simply having fun. And he wants us to be part of his stories. His stories are full of adventure. Right? He has Dhruva Maharaj go into meditation and he stops the whole universe from breathing. All the demigods are saying, oh, I can't breathe. And Lord Vishnu says, I'll save you. It's just this little boy. And he gets on Garuda. He flies in on Garuda. And he stands in front of Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj loses the Lord in the heart. And he sees Lord Vishnu. Or the demigods want some nectar. He says, you work with the demons. They're grabbing the snake. The demons say, we want the head. Demons are like that. So Lord Vishnu says, okay. He goes to the tail, the demigods follow. The demons are getting all burnt from the fire. And they're churning. And then the whole gold mountain falls into the ocean. Does this happen to us too? You're working so hard? And your whole gold mountain falls in the ocean? It depends. Are we taking it? I'm doing this work for me? To do something important in the world. For Krishna's service. Or are we doing it as part of Krishna's fun? Help me, Krishna. Okay. I have a little itch on my back. Okay. So he goes in as Kurma. And as the mountain is turning, scratching his back. Right? And it says when you see Lord Vishnu's ornaments, they're very nicely polished because the mountain has been rubbing them. And since that time, there are ocean tides along with the breathing of Kurma. Where there's this big demon torturing his son. He comes out of a pillar. As a lion. He's having fun only. So we are so fortunate.
So
Remembering of Krishna's pastimes is so easy. Because if we just open our consciousness a little bit, we're already in them. It's already there. It's just a question of becoming receptive. In the first canto, Prabhupada said, this is the secret. To become purified enough so that we understand what's already here. That is the purpose of sadhana bhakti. And just to wake up to what is already here. The party is already going on. But maybe we are sleeping. Or half sleeping. So all we have to do is wake up. And everything we're already doing is part of Krishna's pastimes. It is a question of absorbing our mind. There's a verse that is twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Several, actually. But I'm thinking of one. Very good. Yes. Manmana bhava madbhakto majaji mam namaskaru. So that is in what two places? Ninth chapter, end of the ninth chapter. And? 18th, end of the 18th chapter. So in the ninth chapter, at the end, Krishna is very much in ecstasy. What has he been talking about? Most confidential knowledge, okay. Yes, but what is he saying specifically at the end of the ninth chapter? He says, even if you do the most abominable thing, if you're my devotee, you're a saint. He's in such ecstasy of love for his devotees. And in that ecstasy, he speaks this verse, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. Then at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, now you do what you like. I met one gentleman who said that is his favorite verse. That is Krishna's instructions, you do whatever you like. You do what you itcha, your desire. But after Krishna says you do whatever you like, he's so much in love with Arjuna. Yes, you do what you like, but please do this. And then he speaks the two verses, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. And you surrender to me. So this thinking and this purport to the verse in the 18th chapter. Prabhupada says we should mold our life so that we cannot but think of Krishna. So we should have that everything reminds us of Krishna. The hills, the rivers, the forests. Oh, but I don't live in the country. I live in the city. Well, there's the sunshine in the city. There's the moonshine in the city. In the city there's water. Krishna is even air. There is air in the city. So when you are in where you are tasting water, there's Krishna. Oh, but that's not Krishna's pastimes, you say. Can't you not remember Krishna's pastimes in the water? How is Matsya, he swims in the water of devastation? Diving and surfacing in the water. Diving and surfacing. And he's pulling this boat. How he's swimming in the milk ocean as Kurma. How he's playing in the Yamuna with the gopis. How he's swimming in Radhakund. How he is soft and delicate, like water is very soft. How he is powerful, like water is very powerful. So from everything around you, you can think of Krishna's pastimes. Because Krishna is everywhere, and everywhere Krishna is Vrindavan. That is our secret. And then Prabhupada says we will experience life as a thrill at every moment. That doesn't mean that all your decisions will turn out right from a material point of view. Because we're not interested in trying to enjoy the results of our activities. We cannot control that anyway. That is Krishna's business. Our satisfaction comes from the process itself. That is our meaning. That is our significance. That is our satisfaction. That from minute to minute. Tad atmatam. I am absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And not just as an observer. The demigods are observing only. So, if we just want to observe, then that's demigod life. I know some devotees who remember their previous lives like that. But to participate. And that we can do now. And then everything will be very nice. So we have 2 minutes. Comments, chastisements, corrections. So we can test ourselves. At the end of every day, you think, how much time today did I spend absorbed in Krishna's pastime? How am I evaluating my own activities? Am I evaluating them by the external material result? Or how much they're connecting me with Krishna? How much I am doing them just so Krishna can have fun?
Mennyire teszem ezt azért, csak azért, hogy Krishna jól érezze magát.
how much I am willing to be part of Krishna's story, and to go for the wild ride. Okay, so everybody is probably very hungry. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.